You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Jardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Man, party they gon' have. Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Scardy. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, my fine friend. I'm doing well, and I know that you're doing just as good as I'm doing, so therefore I know how you're doing. How do you like that?
That's pretty darn good. For good guests, too.
Hey, by the way, happy Halloween to you and everybody around the globe. It's a trick-or-treat day, and my gosh, there must be people all around the world enjoying it, and my sympathies go out to all those poor people on the Eastern Shoreboard experiencing what they did. Bill, my God, with that Hurricane Sandy, it just tore the East Coast up. My God.
Yeah, I know it did. That's where we're having a lot of problems with servers and everything else, too.
Yeah, but you know what? They're going to bounce back. And, my God, you know, the people from the East, they know their stuff, and they're resilient as hell. And bango, bingo, they'll be back up on top of it. Although, I got to tell you, okay, it just irritates. I get irritated to no end that, you know, there's people back there in New Jersey, and they're gouging on the price of the gas. You know, already. I mean, it hasn't stopped yet. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, you know, what's going on with these people? They've gone through tragic losses, And now that somebody's saying to themselves, oh, well, now I'm going to go make myself a ton of money because I'm open and nobody else is for a while, and I'm going to charge them a dollar extra a gallon. You know, when is our government going to step in and say, hey, enough is enough here? And you don't do things like that, for crying out loud. It's just not right, Bill. It really isn't.
I know. I got to make a little bit of an announcement here to everybody so they understand what's going on. In the last couple of days since the hurricane came, our server has had a major crash. It's not up yet. It's been out for a week now. And so what I've done is I've reconstituted a new server and a new page. And when you go to searchingforbigfoot.com, you'll see the links to that new page. I have all the domain names published, but it takes anywhere up to 72 hours for them to take hold. Two of them have not taken hold yet. One of them has. The one that you can use is BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. That works. It'll bring you. I also have a link right on the front page, right on the top, a little button that says New Page. So if you want to listen to the show, go to there. And also on Searching for Bigfoot, there's also a link there that you can listen to the show on. Okay.
Thanks, Bill. You know, those of you who are Trekkie fans, I don't know if you're on the know, but George Lucas just sold his empire for $4 billion. That's right, $4 billion with a B, not M million. To Disney, and congratulations, George, and double congratulations to the Disney World people. My gosh, and they're just going to run with this thing and forever. And the guy has really made a legacy for himself. And I understand now that he's going to be donating some of the portions of his profits that he's made on this thing to nonprofit organizations. It's a good. Good thing to do there, my friend. George, you're doing a great, great job. You know, I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We've been back for about 5 days. I've been going through some problems health-wise, but I'm mastering that and getting over all that. Things are going to be fine. And we just move right along. You know, it's an amazing situation. I noticed we just put up Hoax of the Century, and those of you who've seen it and those of you who've ordered it so far, thank you very much. We'll be doing a list out here pretty soon, and everybody just can't wait to see it. And it's done very well. I got to tell you that. It's done very, very well. John and myself put our hearts into this thing and did as much due diligence as we could. He is a fine filmmaker. I got to give him that. He really is. And with our collaboration between the both of us, I think we did a fine job. You'll see for yourself when you order it. Something else happened to me today, and a gentleman that used to call me Pop called me out of the blue, and I haven't heard from him in a long time. And we had about an hour's talk today. I'm reminiscing of what's gone on in his life and what things were going on. And I says, you know what? I says, why don't you come on the show tonight? And he says, sure. I'd love to have you come on. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk to him before on the show. He's been with us many, many times. And I'm sure this isn't going to be the last. Alex Hearn from Arizona. Alex, you out there?
Trick or treat. Give me something good to eat.
There you go. Yeah. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, on the opening conversation that we had, he said to me that somebody who was very dear to me and someone who that I kind of educated and mentored in the industry, a female person, had passed on. And he had heard this through a reliable source and said, Tom, I think you should know about it. And I just wanted to put our feelings aside and let you know about it. And I thanked him for it, of course. And then I go to find out later on this afternoon, she hasn't passed after all. Is that correct?
We got hoaxed.
It was what?
We got hoaxed. We got hoaxed. Actually, not us so much, but her mother. Imagine someone doing that as some kind of a Halloween joke or just a cruel joke. I don't get the humor.
I would call it a sick joke.
Yeah.
Cruel, but sick. Anybody, and that came from her mom?
Someone called her mom and said that, you know, and we won't say her name, I guess, since
I'm not talking
such
about
a thing happened. But, someone called her mom and said that he was her boyfriend of the past 2 years and that she had passed away 2 days ago. And more or less, that was all he said and hung up. So she tried to find everything they could, and they called, as far as I know, they called all the hospitals and police departments in her, where she was known to be last, and they said that they knew that she was there. You know, they had some kind of contact with her a year or two ago, and they don't have any reports in any of the hospitals or anywhere of her being deceased or in any kind of problems. And they went to the house and did a welfare check, but nobody answered. So, you know, a sick joke on the girl's mom, who she hasn't seen in a while, and somebody took advantage of that, I guess. And we know that the person is a little bit of a poor soul and maybe a little lost, like so many people get nowadays. And someone somehow took advantage of that because she hasn't contacted her mom in a while. So,
let me ask you this. The person that dated her, did you know this person?
No, we don't know that.
Mom, you said that it was the next boyfriend, right?
Yeah, and she didn't know him, and nobody else knows him either. So, I guess she hasn't been in contact with the mom since, you know, about the same time she's contacted any of us.
Wow. Well, if she's listening tonight, she knows who she is. We hope you're well. As a matter of fact, if you can call your mother, call me, call people that you know, let everybody know that you're okay. We would appreciate it. You meant a lot to a lot of us, okay? You still do. And I hope to God that you're well. People out there right now are probably saying, well, who the hell are they talking about? We just don't want to mention names right now. At least I don't. If you want to, you can.
I don't think it's appropriate either. We're not sure if it's true or not true.
I was shocked when you told me about this morning, then this afternoon, bango, here it is, a Halloween prank. Well, that's one sick prank, let me tell you. You know, we had a nice little visit, I think, Alex, and I think you've come to your wits after all this time, and you've seen all that the world and these crazy people in the Bigfoot world have to offer. And can you capsulize that in a sentence?
Well, you know, pretty much everybody's out there for a buck or to get notoriety and, you know, get a TV show or just get their name in the paper. And, you know, that's, I guess, how it is everywhere. But somehow this field, Bigfoot and cryptozoology, let's go even further to the paranormal. I've done some stuff in the past couple of years with these ghost people. And, you know, it's a huge, huge, huge genre. The ghost people, the UFO people, you know, there's a lot of money to be made. At least some people think so. You know, I guess the elite in the field will make money and the others will, you know, sling their bullshit and waste people's time. But everybody's out for something or, you know, to get something. And I think they're all, everybody's backstabbing each other in the process, you know. And I guess me and you did that a little bit too. But, you know, and that's what happens when people's greed and emotions get involved.
You know what? I don't think you've said it any better. And it has. It, I don't think it just stops there. I really don't. Because, you know, one thing that you did say that I know a little bit about anyway is, you know, all these people, they're looking for 15 minutes of fame. Well, I've been there, done that, as you know. 52 shows I've been on. That doesn't do anything for me anymore. Just like footprints and hair samples of the creature doesn't do anything for me anymore. Or these log squatch pictures.
Yeah, just they've had their time, huh? Sorry.
Of course, okay. But the point of it is it's real simple, okay? You know? It's a sick world. And when you stop and think of the majority of the people that this Bigfoot world is made of, the paranormal world is made of, the UFO world is made of, it's craziness, okay? There's people that's got much, much too much time on their hands. I've said it many times in the past. People that are not firing on all eight cylinders. And then there's people that, you know, besides, you know, I don't think it's so much the greed. I think it's you know, they want to get their name out there. I mean, let's be real, okay? Look what's happened to me. Here I take something in earnest. Really believed. When I touched, I prodded something. I saw it. I really believed, okay? $50,000 worth plus. And the next thing I find out, man, I'm a hoaxer. Give me a break. All right? The problem of it is there was other people out there, just like this clown today that did with our friend's mom. Here it goes one more time, you know. People got much, much too much time on their hands, so they got to prank others. Okay. Well, they got it in today's terminology. I guess it's called punking them. Is that correct, Alan?
Punking, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
That takes a weird sense of humor.
It does. It does. So guess what happens? Everybody starts to sling shit about this one, that one, the next one, the other thing. But you know what, Alex? I got to tell you a story. Since we haven't talked, since we haven't had you on the show, we heel and toe it down that road each and every day, and we keep on keeping on what we know how to do best, okay? We're looking for an answer, just like there's a lot of sincere people out there in this industry looking for an answer. We've had some of our mutual friends pass on in the last year or two that we both know, and a lot of them were earnest in what they did. They've tried, they've given of their life, their time and money to try to find out about this thing. And you know what? I don't know, to be honest with you, if anybody can really do it, at least in my time, but I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm sure it's hell trying, and I also have tried for a ton of years. I didn't let anything detour me. But you know what? I hope to God, because I'm coming to the end of my reign, that we get lucky. If we don't, I'm passing the baton on. And I hope that the next person will get just as lucky, if they can. But I really believe that because of the stuff that we've done and the foundation that we've laid down, everybody in the industry, okay, that something will come to the front. I really believe this. I'm going to tell everybody else out there, too. You know, they're all sending me emails and calling me, Tom, what do you think about this $10 million bounty? Well, here, you want to know what a hoax is? There's another hoax. What TV station, what production is going to go out there and put their call letters on the line? They better have a lot of attorneys, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me very closely. Especially, what was it, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, that poor guy with his ghillie suit got run over because he was going to pull a prank on Bigfoot? How long ago was that, you guys? Do you remember?
About 2 months ago.
2 months ago. Okay. And he doesn't get run over once. He gets run over twice. Think about that. In case they thought maybe he didn't get killed the first time. I don't know. But
well, the second guy wanted his share of the money, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, think about this. Come on. If you had a TV show and you were going to assemble a bunch of different researchers, cryptozoologists, Bigfoot hunters around the country and pin them against each other, and they're going to go traversing this country, which I don't think they're going to get very many of them, because you and I both know production companies get hired by stations, and their budget is nil to none. So those of you people thinking that, oh, my God, well, you know, Finding Bigfoot crews, they're on TV every week, and they're making millions of dollars. Wrong. Okay? How many times have you been approached, Alex Hearn, with your TV shows and prospectives of being on TV and doing a new reality show? And how much have you made?
Profit-wise, not a hell of a lot. And, you know, they're the biggest cheapskates going. And, you know, it's funny. Once they have you, they got more money than God until they have you committed. And then once you're committed to helping them, or once you give them the information that they need without even going with them, then suddenly, well, you know, it's not really a pilot, and we don't really have the backing yet, and nobody else is getting paid either, and everybody's putting in their own money and time. You know, been on TV now 10 times, 11 times. Mitch and I were just on again 6 weeks ago on the, not even 6 weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, on the Travel Channel's new show, Paranormal Paparazzi, with Joshua Warren and Steve Grunwald. Hello, guys. And, you know, it's a cool little show, and they go around and check out different things, all sorts of things, crypto, paranormal, everything, you know.
Let me interject something here in case of some of my audience out there doesn't recognize that name. Joshua P. Warren, ladies and gentlemen, he was the one that had that radio show, which is pretty big deck there in the southeast. Something Strange in the Night or something with the paranormal. And he also is the guy that hooked up with Witten and Dyer during the hoax, the Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax there that we all got conned into, to sell the suit. You guys remember that now? Joshua P. Warren was the guy that orchestrated a deal with Dyer and Witten to sell that suit and make everything right and give everybody back their money. When that whole thing went down, did you know that, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, all right. When that whole thing went down, they never had the suit to sell, ladies and gentlemen. And when it all went down, we go to find out that $253,000 winner, that bid, was another hoax perpetrated by the same people. So that's how you might want to remember that name, Joshua P. Warren, ladies and gentlemen. Nice guy. I've talked to him many times. I talked to the other guy that was with him there. I think it could have been that Steve guy. But it's a shame that everybody gets caught up in all this bullshit instead of something that they could take. And that's what I talked to you earlier today about. You know, if a lot of these people, because a lot of them are smart, they've got these big degrees and these long initials after their names and all this crap, you know, Alex. If they would take the energy that they apply by screwing people and doing what they're doing with these hoax things and everything, because, you know, they're looking for attention. They have an attention deficit here, okay? So they figure, well, how can we get the king of the mountain off the mountain, and how can we get our name up there? I mean, it's gone through a lot of these people in this industry. What do you think, Alex?
You know, you went on his show to discuss that, and I wasn't on that show that night, so I don't remember how it turned out, but you were on his show a couple of times, and I always wondered what was the truth behind that, if he had your permission to do that, or if he was just doing it on his own.
No, no, and, I never had to give him any permission. Bill Lett did, signed a contract with him, and it never came
with the Warren guy?
I'm sorry?
Bill signed a contract with Joshua P. Warren?
That's correct, Joshua P. Warren.
Oh, so he did have, I guess, Bill's permission to sell the suit. But,
that is correct.
But he was hoaxing, too.
Well, I don't know if he was hoaxing, but I think he was hoaxed, ED, past tense, because he really thought that the thing was going to get sold, and everybody was waiting with bated breath. And then when we all found out, you know, everybody was calling me, what do you think it's going to sell for? I said, I have no idea. Okay? And then it went up to 40,000, 60,000, 100,000. My God. Is this thing going to go crazy? And then, of course, it peaked out at 253,000. So, you know, and then we go to find out it was the same guys that perpetrated the hoax that perpetrated another one. So, you know, it's amazing. But now here, Joshua P. Warren got a show, as you said. I haven't seen it yet, but God bless
him. Yeah, now
he does very well.
He's not the main character, but him and Scott are the reporters. They go out in the field and interview different subjects, and Scott came to Arizona and went out in the field with Mitch and I, and we had actually a pretty good, we got snowed out the first trip, so he realized, you know, Arizona wasn't hot desert, and then we took him out for a weekend, same location we brought you. And we actually found a footprint on camera. And I showed them how to take the photographs of it, you know, from at least four different angles and use the shadows to show you the definition. And you can tell Scott gets a little bit perturbed because the clip they picked to show the footprint is not one of the shots that show any definition to it, and you can barely see it. So he gets a little disturbed, and he's like, well, that's not the best view of it. I saw much better views. You know, it was actually a really good footprint, but it wasn't very deep. But, you know, footprints don't impress us anymore, I think you agree. I wouldn't even have casted that footprint if it wasn't for these guys being with us. Just did it for them and didn't build a frame around it or do any of the things you should do. I just mixed up some plaster and poured it in there and waited for it to dry till the end of the day, and we took it out. But and it was a very, very thin footprint, and not, you know, it was really hard pan. It was winter time, and it just didn't go that deep. But we weren't making a footprint at all. And I'm certainly sure nobody's walking around at the 7,600-foot level in the middle of the winter barefoot. In fact, the campground was probably closed only days before we were there. It'll be closing again in a month. They get snow any time now.
By the way, his producer, his co-producer, was named Micah Hanks. I'm looking
at Micah.
Yeah. Was he out there with you?
Actually, I dealt with Micah from that other show you mentioned.
Yeah, Micah Hanks, yeah. Joshua P. Warren and Micah Hanks. Well, listen, I hope the show is a good one. I hope it's successful for them. I'm sure it will be. You've seen it. What do you think?
You know, I actually didn't watch anything except for our little episode, and they did it pretty good. Of course, that's because they made it all about me. No, I'm just kidding. They had a good spread of us. Mitch, his nephew, and his brother came with us that day. And they did use, in the five-minute segment, they used a lot of speaking parts from me
And, you know, that I thought that was kind of cool. In all the other shows, I mostly, you know, just kind of, they're showing me and they're talking. So I actually get to talk a little bit and speak, and it was pretty cool. But the show itself, I'm sure it's as good as any of the others. You know, they're fun to watch. Let's put it that way. You know, they're not going to solve anything just like those other guys, because, you know, if you go in there with a bunch of cameras and loud people that are checking their sound equipment and their videos and their gains and their brightness levels and all that stuff, before they even get to film, you've scared every creature away, you know, including the mice. And,
by the way, Alex, I got an email that came in here. It says, Tom, from Bigfoot Believer, Tom, X, Alex, whatever happened to the TV show that they were shooting in New Mexico by Farmington?
That one's still going on, I guess. We shot it. It was one of these pilot demos, you know, that takes years to get put on, and nothing yet.
There's a part two of it. And who got paid all the money, and did Alex get the majority? Hold on, still going. And what was his role? So there you go. You got a three-part question.
Who got paid? I believe just the individuals that used the house in New Mexico got paid. But, you know, that's what happens when loose lips sink ships, Tom, right? And beyond that, you know, some people got in the show, and I got a free vacation out of it, but, you know, things didn't go the way it should have went, and that's basically because people didn't play along and had to open their mouth, and you and I talked about that today, and you know how that goes. And,
oh, greed.
And that's why,
greed.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, verbal agreements between people go out the window when they see a chance to get on TV or something. So, but, you know, the thing is, me and you can tell people all day how this will turn out, and they don't believe us until they see it happen with their own eyes, and they screw themselves. Like, you know, like I told you on that one, I get a free vacation. I get, you know, basically that show was about me. That show was about, you know, me or JC. You know, it's basically us. And
Alex, tell them what everybody got paid, a Coca-Cola and a bag lunch.
Yeah, not Coca-Cola from a cooler and pizza.
There you go.
And you know, the show's about a Boston guy that drives around the Southwest in a Dodge. They added a little girl on his arm and investigates crypto stuff. And they came to me and JC for the first show. They came to me. I introduced him to JC. JC and another person who I think is on your show sometimes, but I won't say her name because I don't have permission, did a lot of the scenes with the two stars. And it was one of her friends that they used her house. And, you know, they did a nice pilot/demo reel. And I got to make a cameo appearance. And that's exactly what it was. I meet the stars in one of the diners there in New Mexico, and I tell them, you know, Arizona cryptozoologist, and overheard them talking and blah, blah, blah. So I get to do a little cameo with my name, whether it makes it in there or not. But that, you know, just proves to me that the show is about me. Why would I do a cameo in a show that's not about me? You know, and it's a Boston guy driving around the Southwest in a Dodge. So, you know, if you tell me who's the only guy doing that, you have a Dodge now, but at the time you didn't. And, you know, they came to us for the first show. Now, whether it'll ever air or not, that's another thing, but, you know, it's okay. But, you know,
Let me tell you the procedure.
Tom, we're going way over time, okay?
I know all about it, Bill. Know all about it.
I know you know all about it. I got three more guests.
Don't worry about it. We'll get to them all. We'll get to everybody, Bill. And the guests that are waiting, please excuse us. I haven't had a chance of talking with Alex in a long time, and since he called here this morning, and I just thought I'd give him some airtime and let the people say hello to him in their own way and him say hello back. To sum it up, Alex, what do you think about the majority of all the people in the Bigfoot industry?
Bigfoot, crypto, it's just the same as everybody out there. And just like in real life, every one of them would sell their soul for a dance with the devil.
I love it. Oh, I love that. Was, you know what? You send that to me. I want to get that printed up somewhere and put it on a plaque. That is iconic. That is just divine.
Hey, I was taught by the best, wasn't I?
And the majority of the good things you did, yes. When you went off balance, I don't know who taught you that. So, I was very happy. I was honored when you used to call me Pop. I used to tell everybody that. And then when you went off balance, I don't know what happened and who you have to credit that to. I think what you got to do is the devil part that you just talked about. But you found out the truth, and here you are tonight with us, and I appreciate that. I really do. Listen, we got a whole lot more show. Let me get these in here before Bill kills me, and we'll talk soon, okay? Get yourself out.
Excellent. And don't be upsetting Bill.
I know. I already did. He's pissed off. All right, you take care of yourself.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Bill. Good night, Tom.
Good night, Alex.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Alex Hearn. You heard him many times on our show. Big surprise today. Bill, let's go to commercial real quick.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. And every time I listen to that little tidbit, it just gives me shrieks. You know, we talked a little bit about it on the show with Alex, with Joshua P. Warren and all that. You really want to know the truth? You really want to know the inside story? You want to see the true photos of it all? Go to searchingforbigfoot.com. Go to Shopping for Bigfoot on the left table of contents. Purchase it. And you'll see what it's all about. Believe me, you'll along with our other new releases that have just come out, Hoax of the Century. You know, maybe we'll couple them up somehow. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Mississippi and talk to our good friend Theron out there on the Choctaw Reservation. Theron, how are you?
I'm just fine, Tom. How about you?
I'm well. How's the weather out there? Has it changed since we were there 2 weeks ago?
It did change, and it's kind of cool out here.
What's been going on? Anything new?
Everything's been quiet, except I got people coming over and want to talk about the subject, and I tell them about it as good as I can, you know, and some are skeptical, and some are believers. They've had somebody that they've known that's seen the creature around, and I have no doubt that these people have seen it because I've had an experience with it in 1972, and people around me in my family has many, many times have seen and had encounters on the yard, you know. So people are still seeing it around here. And, you know, people that are skeptics, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, just telling them off. But I have to keep my cool, Tom.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was such a great thing here. It was some time ago when I contacted Searching for Bigfoot, because when my folks kept on seeing it, and I knew with my own experience with it, then I had to find somebody to call, and I'm glad I found Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated, because you guys came right on, and you came over, and you've actually found you know, the lairs and the evidence that there are these creatures around, and you know, I'm just so glad and so proud that you guys came over and did your research, and you showed me a bunch of stuff that I've never known, you know, that I could probably do myself now. But you know, we've had pictures. We had pictures of foot tracks, and we've had eyewitnesses, and we had at one time we had a video, and you folks came over and got evidence yourself. I believe you got one of the photographic evidence, which was taken over at around my mom's area there. You remember?
Sure as hell did. Sure as hell did. And this last time we're out there with you. And you know what? You're totally right. If it wasn't for you, Theron, we wouldn't be out there. And people like you and Mac, and we appreciate you like you won't believe. I mean, as far as we're concerned, when we reach out in that area, you're part of us. You're part of our family. And Mac, this last time, he just went above and beyond. You know, I've been telling the story about when we were out there 2 weeks ago, that we got the guy out of jail that's going to prison for 7 years, and that told us his story and filled it. And they all said, oh, you're full of crap. You didn't do that.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell them the story? Because they won't believe me.
Okay. This is what happened. This is my cousin, Navian. He was out there by the Isaac Cemetery there on the Choctaw Indian Reservation, right about a mile or so from the Silver Star Hotel and Casino. And he was looking for scraps to sell, you know, scrap metals and stuff like that. So there was just a heap of scrap all over the place, and they were picking it up, and he was looking around, and, you know, there's a big ditch or hole back there, and he decided to go down there, and he heard some growling noises, and he scared him, and he instead of going into it, he decided to walk back out, and then he heard another growling about a few feet to his left side, you know, and he turned around and just walked back, and by the time he got to the near the cemetery there, he turned around and started using his cell phone video camera and started panning back and forth, and he stopped in the middle, and there was this this creature standing there just where he was just standing there just a minute or two before. And the creature just standing there and looking to his right, and you can see the creature move, moving his head and looking at something. Anyway, the creature finally turned around and walked away into the woods. But whenever they slow panned it back and forth, there was a cone head sticking out of the thicket. And when they panned it back and forth again, that cone head appeared to be standing up. So it appeared to be there was two creatures in the video. But and then he got into some trouble, you know. a sting operation, you know. He had to go to jail, and we all went to the jailhouse, and the sheriff himself was there, you know, Sheriff Tommy Waddell, and you talked with him, and they pulled him out of the jail, I think, and you guys interviewed him.
Nobody would believe us. This guy, this could have been the biggest jailbreak of the century, you know, because none of them were out there except for when we were filming. They let him even have the hamburger from the guy's relative. A car could have come by and swooped him up, and you didn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, and then you guys had to put a jacket on him so his...
because of his colors from the jail
show. Well, yeah, I had a great time, you know. I had a great time with old Chico and Bill and those two folks. I forgot their names now. The filmmakers that were along with you doing the documentary. So hopefully when you're finished with the documentary, you'll released the photos and other evidence that you found here in the Choctaw Reservation here in Mississippi.
Oh, we will. You know, I got to tell you, we've got so much, a compilation of so much. It's just incredible. And I mean a ton.
Yeah.
Between Tennessee after you,
yeah.
Between the stuff we got in North Carolina, between the stuff in Georgia, between the stuff in Alabama, the stuff we shot in Alabama. On Chuck Creel's place. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You will totally be amazed, be shocked, call it what you want. Some of the finest footage you'll ever see in your life. And I was proud of Chuck. He was involved in that with us out there that night. Now, a lot of those people that says that he's afraid of the dark, they're full of shit. He was out there amongst it all. When this whole thing went down, I was very proud of him.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying this is the time of the season when the creatures are commonly seen around my mother's yard, you know, I can't wait for it to show itself again, you know.
Listen, I got to get into the next step. Thanks so much for being on with us. Thanks for talking with us. And thanks for being a friend, most of all. Okay?
Alrighty.
Say hello to Mac for me, if you would. And happy Halloween.
Will.
Especially say hello to Mama.
All right.
Shoot yourself out. We got a bunch more show, okay?
Okay. Take care.
Thanks, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Ron down there in Mississippi. Great guy. You ever go through the state, stop by and see him. He's always there. His hospitality is off the chain. Him and Mac. Both, they're just wonderful people. Without any further ado, because we're getting late, let's get out to Michigan. We're going to talk to Mike. Mike's found out a bunch of stuff out there, tree marks and broken trees and noises and grunts and growls. Mike, you out there?
I'm out here.
How are you?
Well, my work is getting in the way of my hunting and my camp time, but we'll be back out here tomorrow night.
I see. Well, what's been going on out there?
Well, with deer season open here, I've been trying to do a little bit of bow hunting, which I was able to succeed this weekend, past weekend. Had some wolf problems there, found me around a bit, but a couple weeks ago was what interested me was I got out my pop-up blind because we had some rain that morning, and I went to the road behind me, which is probably about a half mile to the woods and set my pop-up blind back, and there were a lot of deer working. Had a little bit of snow on the ground. And it wasn't daylight, you know, just a little bit of rain. And I got situated, and I hear some cracking behind me. I mean, loud cracking. Kind of like what I told you in the past there. And I waited till daylight and went over and found these pine trees that were, it had just happened, no wind. About 9-10 feet up, broken tops off, and one of the tops is about 20 feet from the other tree, rest of the tree. And I couldn't find a track there. not one single track, and there's two or three of them that got broke that morning there. And it, whatever this says, it's just amazing me how it's able to come through there and physically not leave a track. And I think I talked with Bill there. He said maybe that they're traveling in the trees there somehow. I got to think there's somehow they're coming through there without leaving any sign like this, because I got bears that break trees like that during their breeding season, but not this time of year. I don't have too many there that can reach up 9 feet and pull a top over and without leaving claw marks on it. And this has been ongoing for quite a long time. It seems to have something against trees. I'd like to probably ask someone what's that all about? Why is it breaking trees like this? Is it a territorial thing? Does it want me out of its area? I don't know. I was hoping maybe one of you guys could tell me.
Well, I think what it is they're marking their territory more than anything, Mike, and showing you that they're here. Have you smelt any different odors?
Well, that's hard because when I'm in my blind, I'm loaded up with the dome heat scent. It seems to work better when you put it right in the blind with you. I use it as a cover scent, and it seems to work pretty good because the deer, they're kind of more curious of you.
What are you using, deer urine?
No, I use the Doan Heat Estrus. So it's a little bit rancid inside the binds there, but it kind of helps.
Is it something you made up yourself, or do you buy it?
I buy it from a company called Wildlife Research.
Do me a favor. Send us an email on that and the name of it. I'd like to research it and see what it's all about, okay?
Okay. It's just made for deer hunting. They claim it's from a live doe that's in, you know, estrus, her urine.
Uh-huh.
And if you open it up and smell it, it smells kind of like in a cow yard, you know, smell.
Uh-huh.
And it means enough to make you sick or nothing. And some of it's synthetic form.
I'll be damned.
But I like to use it for a cover scent.
Okay.
And I use the oak wafers made by H&S. You open them up and there's little wafers. They smell just like oak. Real strong.
Yeah. We've had them in the past. Listen, that'd be really great if you can pass that on to us. I'd like to investigate a little bit, okay?
Yeah, I've tried everything to cover my son. I use scent lock, and it all works for deer, but for this other thing, I think Mr. Bigfoot's a little bit wiser to what's going on in the woods there.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, listen, thanks for joining us, Mike, and keep us abreast of what's going on, and anything new transpires, give us a call, okay?
Well, it's coming to an end here because we've got rifle season and all the people from downstate that think they know the woods come up here for 2 weeks out of the year that say it doesn't exist, that ridicule the people that experience.
By the way, are you guys getting any of that blue tongue disease with the deer?
It hasn't made it up to the UP here, but it has been down in lower Michigan.
Man, I'm telling you, it's really affecting the people out there. I've been getting calls like you won't believe. All right, buddy. Take care, and thanks for sharing with us tonight, okay?
Okay, nice talking with you.
Same here, good buddy. Mute yourself out. We got a lot more show left. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mike up there in Michigan. Let's go to commercial real quick, Bill.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we at this time in our history had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else. www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Back to you, Tom.
That's the one that did it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Bigfoot Lives. You haven't seen it, get it. Guaranteed you'll love it. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Four Corners and talk to my boy, my son. How you doing there, young man?
Doing good there, Tom. How you doing?
Well, it's been a roller coaster, but we're making it happen. No, nothing to it but to do it. If you push the baby up to it, baby can do it if anybody can. You know that.
Yeah.
What's going on out there, son?
There's still activity happening. Seems to be a little bit later in the season this year. We're going through an extensive drought, which is leaving us with cold nights, but actually very mild days, you know, and about 70 degrees now. And I'm still hearing stories, you know, up and down the river that there are these creatures that are crossing through fields. A lot of vocalizations is what's going on.
Yeah, I got to tell you something, Dave. It's been incredible across the country. You know, we were out there for 2 weeks, and my God, we've never gotten so much footage in our entire life as we have on this last little excursion. Uh-huh. And I'm going to tell you straight up, you're going to see some stuff coming out, and I really, truly believe that maybe in the next 3-6 months, who knows, this thing may come to a halt, and somebody might get one of these things, because I'll tell you right now, it's huge. It's huge. Every time, there's not a day that goes by that we're not getting a call or an email or a text message about what's happening around here. And I got to tell you something, these aren't blog squatches neither. I mean, these are some great footage.
Oh, that's amazing.
When you get to see some of this stuff, you're going to blow your mind.
Very, very cool. Yeah. Yeah, I think this Bigfoot phenomena is going ballistic, you know, here and obviously in other places in the country. And I totally believe that there's going to be some direct evidence coming out now.
Yeah. Our work hasn't been in vain. You know, there's so many people that have given of themselves and their time, their money, their efforts and thoughts. And you happen to be one of those people, and thank you for what you've done for us, too.
Thank you.
How's our friend?
Doing good. Yeah, he's still looking for a show.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the other one. How's our husband's health and everything?
Oh, okay.
Brenda.
He's doing well. He got a new kidney, and he's strengthened up tremendously.
Praise the Lord. I'm really
yeah.
happy to hear that. Listen, happy Halloween. I'm sorry. We'll have you back on next week. We'll talk to extent, and we'll make this whole thing happen a lot better. Happy Halloween around the globe. Happy Halloween to you and your family. And Miss Calabash, wherever you are, I hope you're getting better. Miss and love you. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the question no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster facing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're all together.